my time in life, I have given many things that ought not have had my worship, that had no reason to be praised. Yet, however, in my ignorance and madness, I praised things that shouldn't have been praised and gave glory to things that should not have got glory. Is it anybody in the building that knows what I'm talking about today? And you don't clap like it. You don't clap like you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then when you met this Jesus, hallelujah, when you met this Jesus, you begin to understand this is what was supposed to get my glory all along. Amen. This is what was supposed to get my praise all along. In fact, this is the only one that should have ever got the glory. Amen. We bless the Lord. We are excited to be here at the Unity Worship Center today. I don't think we're having children. Are we having children's church? Oh, it's children's church is okay. All right. Rams in the bush. We got children's church. Children's church is open. We are excited. Want to bless God for everyone, for your prayers, for Maya. She is at the ending stages of it. She's doing really well, doing a lot better. And we bless God for that. Amen. Amen. Something about when your little one ain't doing well. Amen. It'll have you all over the place. But I knew that they were doing well today as I walked out the door. Right before I walked out the door, they beat me up. Amen. I get jumped often in my household, and I walked out with saying, well, y'all done put y'all's hands on me, so I know you're feeling better. Amen. They say I talk too much in my household. Amen. Any men talk too much in your household where there's too many women? Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. I learned my lesson. Bless God to see my daughter in the Lord in this building today. Sister Shayla's in the house. Amen. Just made my whole day. Give God a hand clap. Amen. The most spiritual, righteous young woman of God that I know in her age group. And I'm telling you, she's on fire for God and she's on fire for the world. Amen. And she's going to be one of these young ladies that make a difference. Amen. And I'm just honored to be connected to her. Amen. I cover her in prayer. It ain't too much I can't ask that she won't come through for me on. So it's just, and she surprised me today too. So it's just a blessing to see her beautiful face in the house of the Lord. Listen, we were going to start on our sermon series entitled, can y'all hear me? Is that cool? We were going to start on a sermon series entitled Deliverance from Conditioning today. But I must tell you that so much has went on in the last week, and this is such an important series that I didn't want to come halfway. And so halfway through the first sermon, or the first part of the sermon, I just said, you know what, I'm going to wait till I feel 110% better, because this sermon that's going to start next week, the series, Deliverance from Conditioning, is probably going to be the deepest series that we've ever done in this church. And some of the things that I'm going to state and some of the facts that I'm going to present is going to be enough to make some people want to get up and walk out. But I believe that until we are delivered from our conditioning, especially our negative conditioning, we will always be messed up. Amen. We will always be half laborers, never ready to go into a real harvest. Amen. And so we have to tackle. That's what I pride myself at this church, is that we tackle the issues. We talk about what's really going on and what's going to help us to get better. Amen. So next week, just keep me in your prayers, and we'll definitely be starting the sermon series entitled Deliverance from Conditioning. Today, I want to talk to you from a sermon that will actually kind of get you prepared for that, and it's called A Walk with Focus. This is called A Walk with Focus, and I did this sermon on the radio show about a year ago, and we had people as far as France, you know, touching down about this sermon, and I feel like it's a sermon that should go forth today. And we want to penetrate to you how important it is to have God's word in your heart. Amen. So the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 11, the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 11. And it is recorded saying, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word that I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have read this verse more times than I can remember, but as I said before, I began to really think about it. I really think about this verse. One time we had, I think it was Pastor Sherelle, and she was talking about your word hidden in my heart. And I began to think about how, as she was explaining this verse, that he wasn't just hiding the word in his heart so that the word couldn't be bothered. He wasn't hiding the word in his heart so that the word couldn't be snuffed out. He was hiding the word in his heart, which we understand in the Greek and Hebrew to translate mind. He was hiding the word in his heart so that when the enemy came in, the word could defend. So let's get it. If the heart translates mind in the Hebrew and the Greek, and we hide the word in our mind, because most often when you are confronted with sin and temptation, it's not coming for your physical faculties, it's coming for your mind. Because see, it don't make no never mind how willing the flesh is if the mind is stronger. You understand what I'm saying to you? Your mind, as long as your mind is telling you yes, or telling you no, it don't matter that your body is telling you yes. Amen. Thought I'd wake y'all up a little bit. Amen. Some of y'all said, I can't believe he just sung a little R. Kelly. Half of y'all was born on R. Kelly. Amen. Bless the Lord. So when these temptations and these sins come against us, they're not coming against what you might think. You might feel it in your body and say, this is a physical thing that it's attacking. No, baby, it's attacking your mind, and your mind is weaker than you thought it was. And so now it's beginning to gain access to your physical faculties. Lord, have mercy. We got everybody over 18 in here? All right. Okay, good. Can I break that down? As long as your mind is solid, the temptation and the sin can't get to your physical faculties. And I pastor a church that it seems that the struggles are somewhat alike. I've read, and so I want you to get this. So now we understand that this is a war tactic. When it comes in to defeat you, when it comes in, when the flesh or when the enemy comes in to throw you off, this word is a war tactic. And this is one of the things that you guys need to stop doing. Stop thinking of the Bible as this pretty little book. This Bible's a beast. This Bible is not to be played with. This Bible is a keeper. This Bible is a transformer. This Bible is a life changer. This Bible, you understand what I'm saying to you, is a deliverer. You understand what I'm saying to you? And ain't nothing soft about a deliverer. Ain't nothing soft about a war tactic. And the problem that we have in the 21st century church, we keep on having these animated visions of what some of these words that are connected to the word of God are. The Bible ain't nothing sweet. It's the game changer. Amen. I was the worst person I know, and that Bible changed me. I set out facing 20 to life in Louisville, 10 flat here in Lexington. I set out to read the Bible, to discredit the Bible, and the Bible discredited me. It discredited Islam. It discredited everything that I had ever believed in. Ain't nothing soft about this book. In fact, I will go so far as to say that I believe one of our biggest problems that we have in the 21st century church is that his word, this is a problem in the church now, his word is not hidden in our hearts as it should be. And some of you may say, sure it is. And I'll say, sure it's not. And you say, sure it is. I say, well, if it was, why do you continue to be caught up in some of the situations that you're caught up in? get this, the word can't be hidden in your heart and you still hidden in sin. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me today. You understand what I'm saying to you? You can't claim that the word is in your heart, but all we see is worldly you. See, because if the word is in your heart, then we ought to see the word extensionally when it comes to you. We ought to see it on the outside of you. We ought to see how you operate. We ought to know that you know, I should be able to watch you and know that you are a child of God, that the word is in your heart. But the problem is, we claim Christianity. We just don't do Christianity. We can do Christianity until Christianity becomes inconvenient, until it begins to throw us off. Amen? Instead, we have the word of the world in our hearts. And the problem with that is the word of the world tells us that we need to be focused on things that just really don't matter. The word of the world encourages us to live contrary to the word of God. And I want to quote the Apostle Paul when he was saying in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. And Christy, I haven't forgotten you. Nobody leave after this. We're going to hear a beautiful poem after this service. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. And the Bible says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Oh, Lord. People of God, you need to understand that there is another message. I know they told y'all when they was hooping, ain't no other message. Yes, there is. I know they told y'all that ain't no message but the message of Jesus Christ, but I'm here to sadly report that there is. Well, what is the other message other than the message of Jesus Christ, the message that is anti-Jesus Christ? The problem with that is that they don't have a book for that yet. You've got one section, you know, we've got one organization of people who have made, what do they call that Bible? Remember I showed that to you? It was the gay Bible, where they take all the verses that talk about homosexuality out. There's actually a Bible that people have had the nerve to put together disrespecting the word of God and just pretty much taking out the teachings of the Apostle Paul and anywhere else that it talks about homosexuality or whatever. That ain't the other gospel, though. It would have you think it's a piece of it. See, Satan is cold. He's a strategic war general. You understand what I'm saying to you? And that's why we can never take days off. Because if he put everything in a Bible that was contrary to the word of God, we would know to stay away from it, wouldn't we? So what he does is you know, we got a piece of that happening. You know, they're making their own Bible that says that homosexuality is okay. But then you got the radio station that plays songs that tells you that it's okay to get high. And what do we say? What do we say? Especially when we're first being dealt with about this. It's just music. It's just music. We have another gospel, and it's the gospel that says, "You mean to tell me that you only make so much money an hour, but you pay your tithes?" Oh, that's crazy. If I was barely making it, I wouldn't be paying my tithes. See, that's another gospel. But they're split up. You see how he talks? You understand what I'm saying? Hold on. How you gonna marry somebody you ain't slept with? What if the wedding night come and y'all you don't enjoy it? That's another gospel. See, because the truth is, we was never supposed to have anything to compare the first time with. You understand what I'm saying to you? So now what Satan has done is, you know, I don't really even believe. Oh, boy, everybody's over 18. I don't even really believe. I'm trying to say this right because, you know, I get criticized for a lot of what I say. I don't even think we knew what sex was supposed to feel like, the fulfillment that it was supposed to bring, except for when the TV shows began to teach it. When we had to talk, you know, I don't know if any of us are old enough to remember, you know, the birds and the bees conversation, you know, that you had with your parents or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But they never got into the fulfillment of sex. You learned that on, I'm old, so you learned that on shows like Dynasty and Dallas, All My Children, One Life to Live. You knew what a, And they would have dialogue to say, you know, Ted just doesn't make me feel like Rudy does. And then you have the love screams and Rudy be throwing. Ted ain't so smooth. They teach us this stuff. Now, you get funny if you were in church and you say, he's kind of out there. No, no, no. The problem is we're not out there enough. That's why everybody is teaching our children what we need to be real enough to teach our children at home. So we wouldn't have anything to compare with if we would have kept it 100 from the beginning. You see. We'd be real about everything else but church. We can tell the truth about everything else but church. And we wonder why our children go out here and they're just dominated by the ways of sin, because we was too busy being so holy that we couldn't talk about what needed to be talked about in the household. Amen. Ain't none of our kids going down that path. Not without a fight. Ain't none of our kids going to be dumbed down to not knowing what's going on out there. You should be seriously sitting down talking to your children about everything that you, when they begin to talk about it on TV and you see it, you need to start talking about it in your home. Here's the truth of that. Here's the truth of that. This is why we don't do this. And if you understand what I'm saying to you, I'm waiting with a pistol and patience to have a conversation with my daughter. Yeah, with a pistol and with patience. Because if my patience don't win out, my pistol will. I'm waiting to have I'm waiting to tell my daughter why you don't just rush into this. Because if you rush into this, this thing can have your mind all jacked up to where you won't come back to us until too much has happened to you. You better tell your daughters that. Oh, it's going to feel great. Oh, yeah. But that feel great is actually a hook, line, and a sinker to make sure that you get away from the ways of God. You got to tell your children the truth. Oh, it's the bomb. But then it's going to blow up. That bomb is going to blow up your life. We got to stop playing with our children. This is why we're losing our children. At least the people in the streets is being 100 about it. At least those kids have. But the problem is the kids in the world become predators to the kids in the church, because the kids in the world have a far greater education to the real life than the church kids do. So we send our children as slaughter to. You better talk to your children. You better talk to your children. People of God, you need to understand that there is another message, and it is being preached out here, and it is the message of the enemy. It's a message of rebellion and destruction, and the reason that it has been able to gain the ground that it has is because there's too many people who declare themselves to be saved but has yet to hide God's word in their hearts. The word heart translates again in the Hebrew and Greek to mean mind. So with that, we begin to further understand that the psalmist's reason for hiding the word in the mind is why? Because the war has been waged against your mind. Northern and I was talking a couple of weeks ago about just witnessing to people that was not saved and how sometimes it can be so frustrating. And I said, the reality is, but we're not really, shouldn't be witnessing against the sin that they're in. We should just be witnessing against the mind that's been taken and snuffed out. That's why Jesus said that but Satan comes to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, here's the funny part about this. I've seen people that's been in church far longer than me say kill, steal, and destroy. You see how we get that messed up? And this is so-called biblical folk. But he has to steal you before he can kill you. Remember we did the graph last, the demonstration last week? He has to steal you before he can kill you. And you got to be careful, because you ain't never went into a store to steal something and be like, I'm over here stealing. Yeah, I'm going to take this whole thing of noodles right here. I'm stealing. You ain't never stole like that. Neither does the enemy. You don't see him as he's stealing. He's not focused on how to steal from you and not. He's focused on how to continuously be in your life and you not know it. Watchman Nee said that he is not. He doesn't come after you all at once, but he comes at you day by day, piece by piece. You ever just woke up one day and said, this is not my life? Real talk. You know, and was surprised about where you were? Now, everybody else was like, on the outside, was looking at you like, why are you surprised? You know how you've been. But you surprised at where you was because it was a little at a time. A little at a time. You see. So let me be very clear about this, and you might want to write this down in your notes. War is not always aggressive. That's why we lose so often, because we're looking for something to be aggressive, and Satan is not going to be aggressive. In many ways, Satan tries his best to mimic God, and as we know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and so Satan doesn't just you see. The only times that he comes at you like that is when he's already got you and he's going in for the kill. Be very careful. Warfare is not always, it's not always aggressive. Oft times, the enemy will try to attack you smoothly because he understands that if he comes peaceably in the form of something that you can relate to or that you like, you may be more apt to let your guard down, and then he begins to destroy you. See, he stole you with catching your attention. He stole you by catching your attention, and he did that smoothly. What did he do? He just showed you what you like. I say this all the time. I'm so sick of people that always come in here. Remember, we used to have testimony service, and they over at Grove Temple, we used to have testimony service. And people would get up. You remember Lily and Erica? They would say stuff like, "And I'm just glad because I was with him last night, and didn't nothing happen. Praise the Lord." Well, he was ugly. I knew who you was talking about. He's ugly. What? Can I be real? It is not hard, women, will you tell the truth? It is not hard to say no to someone who's not attractive. Amen? That ain't no struggle. You better go on somewhere. I just need you to carry my groceries up here. I don't know if you're supposed to fix my sink. I don't know what you thought. You was going to come up here and get you. You know you ugly. And be in church next day talking about, I said no to it. I was strong last night. But then, mess around, and Sexy Dax come over. In testimony service, you real quiet. Yeah. Rolled past your crib last night, woman of God. Saw Sexy Dax's car. You want to testify? I'm fine. I ain't feeling that well today. I bet you ain't. Yeah, it's real easy. Be super saved when it ain't what you want, no way. Amen. Tell the truth, how many of y'all done that? Y'all done give yourself some props for something you would have never done, no way. Hey, come on, talk. You come in church feeling holy. You ain't holy. He was ugly. Let me go on, y'all. Jesus. So again, when I look at this verse, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What I see in my mind is the enemy coming, trying to tempt us. But every time that he tries, the scriptures, the word that has been hidden in my heart, in your heart, or in my mind, or your mind, begin to kick in as a defense mechanism, rejecting anything that is not of the Lord. How many of you want to walk this walk for real, with no more mess ups? Like you want to be able to say, I'm saved, I'm for real, and every decision and every way that I operate says it. Then you know what all you got to do? Hide the word in your heart. Because Satan, get this, Satan knows what you like. Satan know, okay, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit told me to share this with you. Okay, y'all ready for this one? Even the married women, they got married because they didn't want sin no more, but still had lust issues. You definitely have to hide the word in your heart, because you've not been delivered from the issues of lust. You just got married. So that's why Satan continuously sends people to you, though you're married. Because Satan understands you didn't get delivered, you just got married. If you don't, oh God, if you don't got a word, the word in your heart, it don't make no, never mind what you got on your finger. Because there is still a situation, there is still a possibility that he can catch you up. See, some of you women in here, and I don't say it to the men because men don't do nothing but what they want to. We ain't going to do nothing but what we want to. You can run right here, claim y'all the head of all you, whatever. We ain't doing nothing that we don't want to. Men, you better clap your hands now. Leave me out here by myself. I know my wife is watching. But women, y'all do what you need to. Yeah, you do what you need to. We ain't doing what we gonna do. But y'all do what y'all need to. And that explains a lot of marriages in the Christian church. This explains why divorce is so high in the Christian church, because you did what you felt like you needed to, not what you was called to do. You see? And you got to stop thinking. And see, can I just say this? People run around. I see people all the time just dying to get married, just dying to get married, just dying to get married. You don't even like your spouse that much. Just dying to get married, just dying to get married, just dying to get married. And the reality is what you're doing is you're running from your lust. Huh? You're running before you continuously mess up. And you figure that once I get married, I'm good. Then you get married and Sexy Dex across the street is still Sexy Dex across the street. Now you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you. You married. Bill done went off to work. You're sitting on the, you know, in the door jam with your cup of coffee. Bye, baby. And then as he's pulling out, Dex is over with no shirt on, mowing the grass, and you with the cup of coffee like, because you got married but not delivered. Am I making any sense in here today? Lord, have mercy. Single women, y'all better get delivered. And sex ain't the only thing that you got to be delivered from. Sometimes you just need to be delivered from being needy and clingy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, you gotta get delivered from that. You gotta be okay if he ain't. You gotta be saved if he ain't. You gotta be okay if he lose his mind. Amen. Because the problem is that most people go into marriage with their spouses becoming their gods. I don't even know how I got into this. Okay, let me get on back over. The problem that we're having is when there are too many so-called people of God with the wrong things in their hearts. And we have to be careful not to allow the world to store up space in your mind. The Spirit of the Lord put this on my mind. Watch this. He said, the reason that people aren't making the 180 as smoothly as possible is because the enemy had already filled their mind with the ways of the world. That's why some of the things that we talk about just don't make sense to some people. It's not that what we're talking about is wrong. It's not that the person that doesn't get it is stupid. No, that's not the situation. The problem is the enemy has been successful in putting too much of the world into our minds. Now, isn't it amazing that the one thing that's stored up in your mind is the one thing that hates you? You understand what I'm saying to you? Isn't it amazing that we tend to serve an enemy that hates us? We feed the enemy that desires to kill us. Oh man, we getting ready for next week, ain't we? The Spirit, watch this. And so when we see new people trying to build a relationship with God, and there begins to be this internal battle because the word of the world is resisting and rejecting the word of God. This is why you can't walk away from it so easily. This is why you can't be in the church $100,000 so easily. The reason is because you've got too much stored up in you that is contrary to the word.
And you've been in the world for so many years. And this is why I tell people all the time, when you're trying to make your decision to be saved or not, God ain't looking for you to change years overnight. He knows that's not how it happens. But you got to begin somewhere. See, because the reality is, what if we write? What if what we're saying about the Word of God and how the Word of God has to be kept is right? And you decide you're going to pick and choose what parts you keep and find yourself in hell. Well, the way I understand hell, you will have a healthy remembrance. You will have a healthy memory in hell. I could have done this a whole different way and avoided being down here, which hell's not down here, but avoided being in hell and been in heaven. Can you really afford to play lottery with that? Can you really afford to shoot dice with? Maybe that ain't right. Especially with a book that's been for 2,000 years, never proven untrue. Everything it says or said would happen has happened. You better watch those odds. Amen. So get this. I like to explain it like this. It's like having one of those old school computers. Well, you know, you used to have the disk, right? You just stick in the computer when you cut the thing on, and everything, you would see everything on the computer screen that was on the disk. But in order to change the data that's on the screen, you first have to change the data on the disk. Oh, Lord. But get this. And so when you put a new disk in, you know, some of these new kids are looking at me like, disk? What the? Back in the day, it used to be a disk that you put in the computer. And it had everything on the disk. You get it on the screen, some of my millennials. And so, a disk? Is that thing, the typewriter? Floppy disk, yeah. See, I only knew about it. I couldn't afford one. So, floppy disk. You put it in there, and everything that was on that disk, right, was what was on the screen. That's kind of like our lives. When we begin to change to live a life for God, we got to take out that old floppy disk, burn it. Don't just throw it to the side, burn it. Put in a new disk that has the Word of God on it and inject that into your life. And then you begin to operate from the Word of God and not from the word of the world. Amen? And here's the thing about it. And what's so awesome about that disk is that it contains the Word of God and that it comes with a built-in virus protection. As long as you got the Word of God, you will remain virus-free. How's that feel? As long as you have the Word of God, you will remain virus-free. Jesus said, I come to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will come, and He will lead you into all truth. That is a promise, right? So you never have your heart broken until you've been lied to. So if you follow the Holy Ghost, you don't get in positions to where you can be played. You don't get in positions to where your heart can be broken if you follow the Holy Ghost. Now, the problem about following the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost ain't playing. So he going to check who needs to be checked. He going to get out of your way what needs to be gotten out of your way. And your job is to ride with him. You see what I'm saying to you? And some of you are trying to hold on to some of them old people in your life. And the Holy Spirit is like, we was never supposed to hold on to them. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's why I lead you into all truth, thus saith the Holy Spirit, because I'm not playing, you see. So how do we have so many Christians that are supposed to have the Holy Ghost but keep hitting the brick wall? Either one, you don't got the Holy Spirit, or two, you refuse to listen. Amen? Oh, Lord. Your word, whose word? God's word. Not good advice, not sayings that my granny used to say. God's word is the only word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Get this, and hear me good. As long as you have God's word in your heart, you are sin proof. That's a bold statement, isn't it? That's how much power the Word of God has. As long as you have the Word of God in your heart, you are sin proof. Because it's that word, because every time, sin can only come to tempt you. Now, I heard something, and I said this years ago, young in my ministry, and I want to backtrack it. And I said, Satan ain't as powerful as we make him to be. That's not very true. Because we make him to be very powerful. See, temptation can never be fulfilled if temptation is never touched. We can never get into the realms of sin if we don't answer the call of temptation. Amen? But we like it. We like it. You know, that's the problem. Satan is powerful because we're not. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, yeah. He has access to us because there's no word in our heart. You understand what I'm saying to you? Who was around that time that girl came to the old church that had the demons? She was like 5'4". You remember that? And she got, yeah, y'all remember that? And she got down and she said, who knew Sunday church had power? That's what she said. Who knew Sunday church had power? She said, and it is funny because he doesn't go here anymore, and I won't say his name. But he said, I was walking away. We had been casting out demons for 6 hours, literally. And I was walking away, and this guy says, watch out, Pastor, here she comes. And I just turned around, and she said, and he went, this is a big guy too, right? He goes, and she said, stupid. I can't mess with him. Guess what else she said? And I can't mess with y'all because of him. It's too much word. Remember that? Yeah. She told him, she said, stupid, I can't mess with him. And I can't mess with y'all. There's too much word in him. I can't mess with him. I don't say that to brag. I say that to say that you can fight these things off. And not only can you protect yourself, you can protect folk that you are connected to. But you have to. Let me tell you something. But it takes a real person to say, I'm going to put this word in my heart. I'm going to keep this word in my heart. And no matter what it looks like, feels like, smells like, makes me think about, I'm going to keep this word in my heart and let it defend me against everything that is contrary to the word of God. That takes a real Christian right there. Because most of us know what sin feels like. That's the problem. You know what you're missing. But then you get what you get a hold of what you thought you was missing in real life and realize that it wasn't the right thing. It was a mirage. How many of you have been victim to the mirage? I could have swore that was, here I am pregnant on my own again. I could have swore that is, and here I am in a 30-day rehab again. I could have swore that was, and now I'm facing prison time. You got to be careful of these demonic mirages that set themselves up around your life for you to bite. Write that down, Mimi. Demonic mirages. That was pretty good. Write that one down. Yeah. Mirages. You know what a mirage is? Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. We're almost done, I promise. I got 24 minutes. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is powerful right here. This is why preachers don't like me, especially in certain denominations. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. See that, Sean? So there's already a thought process that you don't have to sin. I write to you so that you may not sin. There's an expectation. John has an expectation of you learning this word and then not sinning. See that? And I know you've been taught all your life, everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory. You need to go back and take your language class because it says sinned, E-D. It isn't something that we have to continuously do. It's something that we've done. But when we got in him and seriously in him, we don't have to do that no more. And then he goes on and says, I'm going to show you some more of his expectation. He says, and if, somebody say if. So if lets us know we don't expect you to, but if you do. Oh, Lord. But if you do. Lord, have mercy. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that amazing? That we literally don't have to sin. We don't have to sin. Isn't it so much easier when you thought that everybody just sinned and that's just what you're going to do and that's why you get forgiven? What's that saying? Ignorance is bliss. And I'm not calling anyone ignorant, but don't be offended by ignorant. Be offended if I call you stupid. Ignorance is remedied by wisdom. Stupid, you're just stupid. So ignorance is bliss. When we didn't know that we don't, or that we're not expected to sin, we could sin and use the "He forgives me" card. Once saved, always saved card. You see what I'm saying to you? But right here we realize now your bliss is over, because now guess what you all just learned in here? Now you have spiritual responsibility not to sin. Nobody gets to leave here except the baby. Nobody except the baby gets to leave here not knowing or not responsible for not sinning. Because you just learned that the expectation is for you not to sin. Did you think that Jesus died and would give you some type of, you know, some pitiful, you know, petty type of salvation? Man, this man died. This is for all the marvels. And so when he died, did you think that he's going to be all right with lukewarm Christianity? The death he died? The devil is a lie. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. So if you miss the mark, see, I can't stand when people say, "I messed up." How'd you mess up? I did something I wasn't supposed to do. That wasn't a mess up. I didn't mean to. How didn't you mean to? So when it said, when you saw the sign pulling in and said hotel, nothing rung a bell? I'm pretty sure they told you the motel before they pulled in it so it wouldn't be, what's it called, abduction? Yeah. I mean, we was at Waffle House. You shouldn't have been at Waffle House 2:30 in the morning. You got church tomorrow. You got church. What are you doing at the Waffle House 2:30 in the morning? Huh? Breakfast is between. Let me stop. See, I slipped up. How'd you slipped up? Well, how'd you do that? You see what I'm saying to you? No. There is a responsibility to not sin. And let me tell you something. And just like there's people that is hoping that you don't sin so they can watch you and you can be an example to them, there is people that hope you continue to sin so that they don't have to face the responsibility of doing the right things themselves. See, you don't know how many people you got rooting against you. See, y'all caught up with being rooted for. You better learn how to be okay with being rooted against, because they're rooting against you whether they're telling you or not. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let me get on through this. There's two things I want to point out of this verse. First thing is, we already seen it, that the believer is not expected to sin. And why? Because we have the word. The second thing that I wanted to show you, but I already did, is the word if. If anyone gives, this word if, it gives off the connotation even more that we aren't expected to sin. There's help for you if we do, but this lets us know you don't have to. If anyone sins. See, if you've been in this relationship and you ain't been married, but you've been in this relationship over, and especially if you've been going to this church, then you are willfully sinning. If you're in a relationship where you're not married, but you're going home to somebody that you're not married to, and you know what I'm saying, then you are willfully sinning. And the Bible says that there no longer remains a remission of sins for you. In other words, what happened on the cross don't apply to you. So this thing about this church is that, and that's why it's so, you know, the Apostle Paul, the biggest church that he ever had was 60. Why? They said because the sayings was too hard. You come over here to this church, you don't get to lollygag and play around. We deal with you, because this is not a clique. This is not a crew. This is not a community center. This ain't a country club. We disciple down through here. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, for years I've heard people say everyone's sins everybody's sins are you gonna sin? And I've heard it preached over the pulpits, and I disagree. I don't believe. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let it go. I don't believe that you just have to sin. I believe that sin can be avoided if the word is in your heart. Let me tell you. And what if you got away? And say you got out of it and you didn't sin, right? But it was close. That means that you need to reestablish the word in your heart, because next time you might not get away. You understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand the spiritual responsibility that lays on each one of your shoulders to be who you are called to be? Do you know how many people are banking that even though you got some haters that's hating and rooting against you, but you have a small remnant that need you to be who you're supposed to be? And they need you to be that person. You have so much pressure to be so young. So many kids across this state, not just Lexington and Louisville, but across this state, is looking to you to be the one in their life that does everything they're supposed to do. But did you know that she shouldn't be alone in that? That's supposed to be all of us. She, at that young age, shouldn't have to be the one on her own on that boat. She ought to have some of us to turn to that's on the same level that she's on, just in a more mature fashion, because we've been at it longer. But we done got so lazy in the world of Christendom that we just let the young people take it on. See if they can get it. And if they don't, then that don't make no sense. No, what don't make no sense is that they ever had the responsibility in the first place, when that should have fell flat on our shoulders. That's what don't make no sense. Psalms 97 and 10. We're almost done, I promise. Even though I got 15 minutes, we're almost done. Psalms 97 and 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Stop. Hold up. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Now, we're going to have one of the realest moments we ever had in this church, and I wish everybody was in town, and I wish everybody was here today so that we could really look at this thing. But how many of you in here love the Lord? Now, we're going to be 100. We're going to tell the truth. Keep your hands up. We're going to tell the truth. But every now and then, how many of you love a little evil? Every now and then, you know. Let me help you out. When the movies say rated R, nudity, profanity, and drug usage, how many of you are now and then like a little evil? Got real in here, didn't it? So here's where we're supposed to be, okay? This is the word. You who love the Lord, which everybody raised their hand, you're supposed to hate evil on whatever level. I say this all the time. Snoop Dogg is the non-rappingest rapper in the history of rappers. But he's one of the richest, you know, and you know how he became rich? He made a career of calling women B's and H's. And if you would ever go to their concert, you would always see more women in the concert than you would see men. And if you look at his record sales, because I did, more women bought his music, pumped his music than men. And what women all for 20 years told the world was, it's okay to call me a B and a H. Let's tell true shame that women, let's have some fun. How many of y'all been riding down the street one day just having a good time? Saved or not saved, right? Saved or not saved. And how many of you have sung some lyrics that called you yourself a B? And didn't think nothing about it, did you? You see. But people come into the church and the world and the church say, sinner, and now you won't fight. Now you on Facebook post. And they're going to play me like I, they're going to call me a sinner. But Snoop called you a B for 20 years and you paid for it. You're going to get mad at me because I said you're acting sinful. Am I making sense today? So get this. And here's the responsibility that just fell on you today. All of you got to hate evil. Uh-oh. What that mean? Uh-oh, Oh, the radio station. Somebody need to leave now. Go change that radio station. So when you get out of the church, you ain't playing evil. We'll wait. Oh my God, your movie selection at home, that DVD section at home. Oh my God, because you're supposed to hate evil. You're supposed to hate evil. Huh? Let's just be real. Can we be real in here today? I mean, I'm feeling this thing. How many of us are uncomfortable right now talking about this evil? Because now everything you're going to watch, you're going to be like, Pastor Lyons, evil, evil. listening to it. On the, Pastor, oh, God. It's deep, ain't it? Because tell the truth, the shame of the devil. How many people are here going to be real enough to say, getting rid of that evil ain't going to be as easy as it is said? But guess what? The word don't care. The death was too major. The word don't care because the sacrifice was too major. God don't care nothing about what is hard for you to let go of, because it was hard for him to let go of his son. Care nothing about that. Don't care. The investment into your destiny was far too major to care about what you're having a hard time getting rid of. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Now get this. He preserves the soul of his saints. So you can go on and keep on getting down with that evil if you want to, but there will be no preservation of your soul. Lord, have mercy. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, have you ever loved something, had a ball with something, had so much fun with something, then realized it, and halfway through it, you realized it was evil, but it hadn't been evil towards you, so you kept rocking with it? And did you ever notice that when you failed, or when you had a hard time, or when something went wrong in your life that was major or catastrophic, then you found that evil company was not down for you like you thought they would be? And that evil turns on you. Can I just go ahead and say that evil will always turn on you? Yeah. It has no restraint. That's why the Bible says in the last days there will be some that are past caring, brutal. Past caring and brutal. Has anybody in the... You feel me, Ernie? We know something about being past caring and brutal. You see? I can't wait for the day me and you walk down Walmart together, right? And people see that. People going to get scared. Because it was past caring and brutal. And what are these two doing together? And, you know. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been past caring? I don't care. And anytime that you don't care, you automatically begin to surface in the realms of brutal. Because when you can't care, you're just brutal. Because there are many things to care about, serious things to care about, and you're just going to be brutal. Lord, have mercy. Hate evil, point blank. Why? Because evil is against our Lord, thus evil is against us. See, the deal is, if you are a believer of Christ, then what you are saying is that you have picked a side, and I'm picking the side, and with picking that side, you have an enemy. And since this enemy represents evil, stands for evil, we are to hate evil and what evil stands for. We are for nothing that the enemy stands for. Nothing. Not his music, not his clothing. Oh, it gets deep in here, don't it? Now, I say about this church right here, I'm pretty proud of this church right here. Amen. Cause I've been to some churches where I didn't know if we was having a church or an orgy. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I've been to some churches that made me go, you know, I'm looking for champagne to come out and the pole to drop and champagne just get to swing. Cause this and this is what people was in leadership. And I'm sitting over here like, what we in here for? Huh? Well, if you were saved, you wouldn't be looking. Now, I'm holy, not homosexual. But thank God I'm holy. But maybe that's why these dudes up in here ain't got no walk. Because they are constantly coming to church, not for the word, but for what you got on. And I don't get caught up in dress codes. I really don't. But sometimes you do have to say, now you know you're doing too much. Now this is church. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just got, now this is church. I've been going to funerals since the pandemic started like crazy. Like, I ain't never understood some of the clothing at funerals. What made you wear that at the funeral? It's crazy. It's crazy. You come to pay your respects. How is that respectful to anybody's family? You won't bend all over the cat. Girl, go on somewhere before you get lightning strike you up in this church. Go sit down somewhere. I think I'm getting old, Kevin. Because 10 years ago, I didn't care how you dressed. But now I got a Noel Jones mentality. Noel said they come through here, they just, oh my God, it's just, you know, he's got 30 big words. He says, I just tell them, pass the plate. Don't even come down here to the altar. It's deep, isn't it? Because for real, up until what, about the 90s, we came to church for the dating game. Because the women would tell you in church that something was wrong with you if you ain't have no man. So they hook you up with whichever one in the church was single. Am I telling the truth in there? He could be beating your head in at home, but at least you married. The devil is a lie. Lord, help me. Let me get back on it, because y'all, I know some of y'all saying he ain't saved, but I am, I promise. He preserves the soul. In other words, he guards the souls of his saints. He keeps us. There was never promised to be no casualties in this war, but he keeps our souls. There's going to be some casualties in this, but we can take refuge and we can take peace in that he keeps our souls. Before I move on to this next scripture, I just want to say this to make sure I was understood when I said you can't call yourself a follower of Jesus and not okay and not be okay with what he's not. You get that? You can't say that you follow Jesus, but then take a stance against Jesus on something that he said ain't cool. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you got to believe as he believes, in totality. You don't get to skip G, H, and I. No, everything he says, we follow. We trust. We believe in. We lean on. Everything and anything that is against him, we're against. Are we living our lives like that today? Are we ready to start living our lives like that today? We're almost done. I got 4 minutes. So if you're going to have this walk with God and you want it to be a focused walk that is effective and that attracts others to the faith, there are going to be some things that you are going to have to do, and it's not negotiable. And one of those things is 1 Corinthians 11 and 31. You're going to have to judge yourself. You're going to have to judge yourself. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, I want you to understand that in this segment of Scripture, we're talking about the Lord's Supper and all of that. But I'm just one that believes that you can teach the Lord's word because it's so alive on so many different levels. You understand? And so I want to read this to you in the Amplified version. And it says, but if we evaluated and judged ourselves honestly, somebody say honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we would not be judged. Can I say something? You know how much pride has got to be let loose of to evaluate yourselves honestly? To judge yourselves honestly, to judge your shortcomings, to recognize that you have shortcomings and then correcting that behavior, do you know how much pride has got to be let loose of? Because here's the issue. You don't necessarily know, you know, it ain't like that. Sometimes when I'm talking to y'all, it ain't like I'm lying. It's just that who I think I am to be talking to you like that, right? You don't even know me to be saying some of the stuff that you're saying, but it's true, but you still don't know me. That's pride. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me that I need to go home and clean my house and get myself together. That's pride. What's the Bible say about pride? Pride comes before what? The fall. And in another version, it says destruction. So you can tell me what you ain't gonna do. You can huff and puff. I bet I won't be back over here. Don't come back over here. But I bet you're gonna be in hell if you don't get this together. When's the last time you heard church tell you that? You go to hell if you don't get it together. They don't tell you that because it's not popular and it's not profitable. People want to go to church where they can go, hear a word, halfway decent, and don't feel no way, convicted. Don't you think some of these churches, because they got 10,000 people in them and money out the ceiling, is because the Lord is there? No, some of them people are paying for it, deniable plausibility. You hear me? Let me tell you why I'm laughing. Because today the Lord put that word in my heart about 5 in the morning, deniable plausibility. And I'm going, why, Lord? Deniable plausibility. Why, Lord? Deniable plausibility. Let me just tell you, in most of these churches, it ain't even tithes. It's payment for deniable plausibility. You remember, it's kind of like the old Catholic church. We just going to go ahead and pay you now for what we're going to do later. Call them indulgences. You keep on preaching that word. Keep on making me feel better. Huh. Keep on preaching that word. Keep on making me feel better. You know what? I forgot. I got something for you too, Pastor, because you make me feel better. Keep on preaching that word. Make me feel better. You can be my pimp. I've been all my life. Huh? You can be my pimp. I've been all my life. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Why I got to go over and set in Lions' church and hear how I'm going to hell? I ain't going to pay for that. I ain't going to pay for that. Huh? You go to the store to get what you want, don't you? See, some of these places ain't really called churches. Some of these are demonic spiritual stores. Lord, have mercy. Holy Ghost? In these demonic spiritual stores, you can go pay for what you want. You can get your little salvation, get your little glory, get your little, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Over here, you come over here, you stuck with that one size fit all. You keep tripping, you going to hell. That's real. Amen? All right. It's a must at all times that we are real about where we are. Look at what the Amplified says. It says, evaluated and judged ourselves honestly. You understand what I'm saying to you? I weigh 269 now, 0.4. But there was a time I was trying to come down from 315. And so I would weigh myself and it would say 312. So I come out and say 310. I ain't being honest about it. I'm not being honest about my evaluation. You see what I'm saying to you? So then when I got down to 310, I couldn't say 310 because I'd already been 310, so I got a lot some more. Now I'm 308. So finally, I just stopped telling everybody how much I weighed and waited until I actually weighed that weight. Then I went down a few more and I could talk about it. Isn't lying, ain't it a trip? Lord, have mercy. Boy. So you got to be honest about your shortcomings, and there are not too many things that upset me more than a person who won't be real about where they at. That person that refuses to take a look at their own selves. Because, see, I can't build with nobody like that. You can't build with nobody that won't be real about where they at. You could be in one of the worst situations. You could be one of the worst people, and I can work with you if you'll be real about it. But if I keep getting surprised by your actions because you ain't being 100 about who you are and what you are, then I got to get away from you. See, as long as you refuse to evaluate yourself, you fail to see what needs to be dealt with. And whatever we fail to deal with usually will be the reason that we fall. What you fail to deal with will usually be the reason that you fall. Listen in closing. There's a verse that's been on my mind for a few days. And I want to share it with you because I believe someone might need to hear it. And we're going to switch lanes for a second. And I want you to go to Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, and we're going to read it from the Message version, okay? Jeremiah 29 and 13 in the Message Bible. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this today, okay? The Message Bible, Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, and it says, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree, which means I promise. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from the countries into which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. Isn't that major? I'll make sure you're not disappointed. How many of us in the building are just, quite frankly, sick and tired of being disappointed? Just disappointed by family, disappointed by friends, disappointed by the church. Just disappointed. He says, but when you come and look for me and you want me more than anything else, See, that's where the problem lies, is we want him, but just not more than anything else. I want you, but not enough to give this away. I want you, but not enough to walk away from that. And if you love me, don't we try to justify this mess? And if you love me, God, I mean, you see, I'm happy. We happy, but we crying 3 days out of five. Because we've been taught by watching things, in our lives that as long as I ain't crying 5 days out of five, we're conditioned with being average, with being okay. And he said, when you come looking for me, see, here's the problem. And the reason why some of us ain't found him is because we ain't been looking for him. So you come down here to this altar and you're trying to get a quick fix on your madness. Come down here and you want, and we try to pimp God. We try to be like, hey, yo, you know what? And then try to make deals. Lord, if you just take his pain away, I'll never let it catch me up again. No, sometimes the pain you have to go through from what you've done so that it conditions you to never do it again. And if he took that pain away from you so easily, you'd jump right back in the fire, not understanding that the fire still burns. You understand what I'm saying to you? So every now and again, God has to let you sit in the midst of your mess. He delivers you, but he lets you deal with the consequence. Don't ever think you're gonna get away from the consequence. You can be, he can bring you out the fire. Lord, have mercy. But there'll still be a consequence for what you've done to get in that fire. So some of us ain't looking for him. Let's just be 100 about that. We're looking for everything but him. We're looking for him to take the pain away. We're looking for him to give us a husband. We're looking for him to give us a wife. We're looking for him to do all of these different things, but we're not really looking for him. Because he said, if you're looking for me, you'll find me. You'll find me. My entrance is free. Entrance to me is free. Yes, then he goes back and says, yes, when you get serious about finding me. Is it anybody in the building today that'll be real enough to say, there's some things I want God, but there's some things that I don't want to let go of? And it's okay if that's where you are. Just understand what that means. We done. Y'all been in this church far too long for me to be beating you over the head about sin. You know about sin. Just be okay with what your decision brings, what that entails. Be okay with that. When you want me more than anything, you'll find.